From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1971 in a recording studio. Canadian singer-songwriter Joni Mitchell was recording her fourth studio album, Blue, which would later be heralded as a turning point in popular music and one of the greatest albums of all time. Blue is a record of love songs and sad songs, and it reflects Mitchell's life at the time. And during the making of the album, she was in an intense relationship with James Taylor, which he later broke off. Mitchell poured herself into her music and later said of Blue, quote, "There's hardly a dishonest note in the vocals. At that period in my life, I had no personal defenses. I felt like a cellophane wrapper on a pack of cigarettes. I felt like I had absolutely no secrets from the world, and I couldn't pretend in my life to be strong or to be happy. But the advantage of it in the music was that there were no defenses there either," end quote. Well, you might have seen that NPR recently placed Blue at the top of its list of the 150 greatest albums made by women, saying Blue remains the clearest and most animated musical map to the new world that women traced, sometimes invisibly, within their daily lives in the aftermath of the utopian, dream-crushing 1960s. This hour, we'll talk about the themes of Blue and about the work of female singer-songwriters. We'll debate NPR's list and more. And let me welcome my guests, including the woman strumming that guitar right there, Connie Deming. Connie, welcome back to the program. That was good. Beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Evan. Thanks for having us.
And tell us, by the way, why we're here. Because Connie reached out to me saying that when NPR put this list out, the Smith decided we got to do something, right?
Yes. 1 month ago,
I got a call. Try to get really close to that microphone. I know you got a guitar.
Blah, blah. 1 month ago, I got a call and from the Smith, and they said, "Can you come and sing this Blue album in concert?" I would love to. Oh boy, blah, 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 blah. When would you like to do this? You know, I'm thinking November, August.
A few weeks.
Why, thank you.
The Smith Opera House in Geneva, and the concert is when?
The concert is Friday, August 25th. Doors open at 7.
That's next week.
Yes, a week
from
Friday.
What are you doing here? You should be rehearsing.
I just did. That was the opening strum for the Blue album.
Beautiful stuff. And I imagine it was a great honor for you to get that invitation.
Absolutely. I have always loved, since the first day my brother told me about Joni Mitchell in 1967. My brother lived in Boston and I lived in Plymouth, Mass. And he goes, "This woman, she's really fine. I think you'd really like her. Her name's Joni Mitchell."
You do a good impersonation of your brother.
Connie Kevin and Jim know each other. They go way back.
Connie Deming is one of our guests here. She's performing the Blue album. The entire album, by the way?
The entire album, yeah.
That's next Friday at the Smith Opera House in Geneva. Contact the Smith for tickets and information because you will want to be there for part of it. You're going to have some guests, some fun there that night?
Yes. Several groups, young, wonderful groups from musical groups from Geneva have been invited to do the opening. I didn't have anything to do with that. I don't know them, but now that I've met them all, they're fine young people with very nice, mature sensibilities. I think it's going to be nice.
I didn't see the full list. I did see Rebecca Colleen and the Chore Lads will be there. And Rebecca Colleen and the Chore Lads, I saw them like 10 years ago at Red Newt Winery when I want to say Rebecca Colleen was like 14. And she's playing with her family and it's bluegrass and it is fabulous.
She's a beautiful, she's just this floating, beautiful, Joni-looking star person.
So there you go. The Cool Club with the Lipker sisters, Darwin, Rebecca Colleen and the Chore Lads, and then you'll have some support from Michael George Gonzalez and Jim Modera. So there you go. Tickets are only $12.50 in advance, $14.50 the day of the show. It's by the way, the Smith Center for the Arts. So if you're listening on WUS in Geneva, don't call me to say I got the name wrong. It's the Smith Opera House, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The Smith Center for the Arts in Geneva. That's next Friday. Also here in studio with us is Maria Gillard, who is a singer, songwriter, and an educator, and brought a guitar. Thanks for bringing the guitar, Maria.
Oh, you're welcome. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You're going to play a little Joni for us as well?
Yep. We have a little Joni song for you.
There you go. And do you agree with Joni being number one on the list of albums all time?
Well, I do. I mean, it's one of my favorite albums. I remember buying it in 1971.
So, as you look at me.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it was on our record player every day for probably a whole year. And I learned to play the piano through a lot of her songs, you know. I mean, I had a little Joni Mitchell songbook with all her piano music, so I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Lauren Faggiano is also a singer-songwriter, also brought a guitar, also a Joni fan?
A huge Joni fan, yeah. And I'm a music therapist as well, too. But for Joni Mitchell, you know, I was obsessed in my high school years with Tori Amos. And my father said, you know, if you like Tori, you should check out this album. And he had Blue on vinyl, and I never put it down. That night, I actually sat down with the record player and learned how to play River, because I had to. And since then, just album after album, even going to her earlier stuff and her later stuff as she got more in depth with jazz and the color that she used, it really spoke to me.
So. I think of Tori Amos songs like Baker Baker, songs like that.
Favorite.
That's your favorite,
yes,
Tori song? I just pulled it out of the air?
How do you? Nobody knows that song.
Oh, it's a fabulous
song.
She
played it for me in Syracuse.
Wow.
She did.
And I think of a song like that, and then you think of Joni, and the connection is the emotional earnestness, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, just the raw willingness to be expressive. So Joni's comments about how she was feeling at the time of Blue doesn't surprise me because the emotional earnestness is there. You're going to hear more of it this hour. I think, Connie, this is perfect timing because on this program and in this country, we all need a little soul healing right now, don't we?
Oh, boy, yeah.
How are you feeling these days?
Oh, God. Just like that. Heal me, please. Let this be over soon, please. I got no words.
It's been a tough few days.
Every day is a new nightmare.
It's been a tough few days.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel about the same way. Yeah, yep. It's scary.
Does music take you out of that? Does music give you a reprieve? Or is it hard to escape?
Sometimes, no, sometimes, yeah. I actually, after the Republican convention last summer, just way back then, I couldn't stand all the hate and fear that was being said. So I wrote a peace song, and it did help me to just feel better. And then when I sing it in my shows, other people sing along, and then it feels like, okay, there's people who are really good people, and hopefully we can keep all this together.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
It's been a rude awakening. I think I always try to stay positive and see the good and everything that happens. And so I try really hard not to see all the negative that goes on. And I think it's come to a point in this society that unfortunately we really need to recognize it and acknowledge it and address it because we can't just brush by it anymore. It's sad and it's scary.
I want to ask our guests and, you know, Lauren's a little disqualified because you didn't buy Joni's album in 1971.
No.
Nor did I.
Okay.
Connie did. Maria did. Let me ask because there's something that Joni Mitchell says. I'm sorry, that NPR said in their description of Joni Mitchell having the top spot on their 150 greatest albums made by women. Blue being at the top of the list, NPR said it was the clearest and most animated musical map to the new world that women traced, sometimes invisibly, within their daily lives in the aftermath of the utopian, dream-crushing 1960s. Very interesting. So would you describe the 1960s as both utopian and dream-crushing, Connie?
It kind of was. I mean, we remember the summer of love, you know? Everybody believed that. We're going to change the world. We're all about love and peace and harmony and we're gonna make this a better world. We really believed it.
But really, by 1971, all those dreams were crushed.
Well, by seven, yeah. I mean, it was almost like as soon as 68 or 9 hit, it was like, oh, I guess we can't make that much of a difference. Oh well, we tried.
Why did you specifically, if you can remember, why did you feel that way?
I don't remember exactly feeling that way.
Okay.
I remember the wave went down, sort of, somehow. I don't understand.
Is that because there was a natural sort of exuberance that was overly exuberant and expectations were too high? Or is it because some of the ideals were simply not met?
I think that's more the case. The ideals, just they weren't happening. And I can say in hindsight, you know, looking back, well, you know, it wasn't really the case. We can't really change the world. All the cynical things start to appear in your head. But I'm not sure when I actually felt that way back then. I was going to teacher's college and trying to be a teacher, which was a big mistake. So it was very stressful.
How do you feel?
Well, I kind of disagree. Well, first of all, I don't think the dreams were crushed, because one thing that happened, like during the Kent State thing, when they were shooting the students, Crosby, Stills, and Nash within days got that song
Four
on
Dead,
their
no
song.
Higher.
And, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Neil Young was actually the one that wrote it. That got on the airwaves all across the country. And it's like, what would you do if you saw your friend lying dead on the ground? You know, what if you knew her and found her dead on the ground? How can you run when you know? Those were the words in the song. And I think, well, for me, when I remember hearing that, I mean, I was young, and remember hearing that, thinking, oh, yeah, well, you know, we've got to rise up. So, and people were still rising up then during that whole Vietnam War. Really, that didn't end until about 1973. So I think some of that, I don't know, maybe Joni's album was on a more personal level. It wasn't more on, it doesn't seem like her dreams were being crushed. She was helping express what she felt inside. Even with a song like Little Green, having a child out of wedlock was hugely popular. You wouldn't do that, but to write a song about that, it wasn't crushing her dreams because she was expressing it and she had a child out of wedlock at that time. So that, I don't know, that's just my opinion.
Listeners, I'd love to hear from you. If you had to choose even a top five of greatest albums made by women, would it line up with what NPR's published list says? And by the way, here's the top 11. Four of the top 11 were from 1971, so something going on in 1971. Yeah. Number 11 was Dolly Parton, Coat of Many Colors. That's 1971. Number 10, 1971, Carole King, Tapestry. Number 9, Amy Winehouse, Back to Black in 2006. Number 8, 1971, Janis Joplin, Pearl. Number 7, Patti Smith, Horses, 1975. Number 6, Beyonce, Lemonade, last year. Number 5, Missy Elliott, Supa Dupa Fly, 1997. Number 4, Aretha Franklin, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You, 1967. Number 3, Nina Simone, I Put a Spell on You, 1965. Number 2, Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill from 1998. And, of course, Joni Mitchell, Blue, 1971. Any complaints or anything not on that list at all that you would have had in the top 5?
Ooh, boy. Ooh. I love Liz Wright, but I just discovered her myself last year. She's in the jazz world, and she's absolutely fantastic.
I just listened to a Liz Wright song. You know why? Because it was on RUR. Of course I did, and of course it was on RUR. And it was beautiful. It was one of those things where I was driving, listening to RUR, and the song came out, and I went, who is this?
She's
this is
really
beautiful. Deep. And I never pick up my phone when I'm driving, ever. But my next stop, I'm remembering the lyrics of the song in my head, and I looked up, and it was Liz Wright, so I'm with you. I didn't know, but that was beautiful. So there we go.
She's absolutely beautiful.
Look at that. Anything on the list that, or not on the list that you would have there?
That is so hard. When I looked at that list, there were so many people, and there's so many people that aren't on the list, and it just seems so subjective, the whole thing. One of the people, I don't know about the top 10, but one of the people I think should have been on there was Holly Near, because they had Chris Williamson on there, and Holly Near was a pioneer of women's music in California. She and Chris Williams, they all started Olivia Records, which was a total label, just for women. Same with Ani DeFranco. I think she should have been up there higher. Because she started her own record company that was huge. Huge.
Yeah.
And she was from Central New York, Buffalo. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Lauren?
I think it's a great list. I would like to see Etta James, I think, a little higher up on that list. Because she really broke through to mainstream music very early on. So I would have liked to see her a little higher up. But I think it's a... I love that Lauryn Hill is on there.
That
album is great.
Yep.
And obviously Joni. I was surprised, to be honest, when I first saw it. I was surprised she got number one, because I don't think enough people know her. But
Well, and can I add to that? Because this list from 1964 to 2016, that spans five decades, you know? And so you have young teenagers listening to the radio through all those time periods. It's great that Lauryn Hill got on there because mm-hmm. she was a voice of that sort of Gen Xers, you know? And so it is important for her to be on there, and maybe a lot of the Gen Xers or anybody born after 1990 might not know who Joni Mitchell was. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's such a big mm-hmm. span of years. Hard to say, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's listen to some music. You guys want to play a little music?
Sure.
You want to do that? Because listeners, what we're doing this hour is we're trying to heal our soul. Mm-hmm. And then Connie Deming had no less a task than that. So good luck to you. Connie is the singer-songwriter. Maria Gillard, Lauren Faggiano, they all brought their guitars. And Connie is going to be performing at the Smith Center for the Arts, the Smith Opera House, or just the Smith, whatever you want to call it. That's in Geneva, and that is next Friday night. And the Smith put this show together in honor of NPR's list of the top 150 greatest albums made by women, with Joni Mitchell's Blue at the top. And they called Connie and said, can you come play Blue? And she said, sure, I know it all by heart. It takes nothing. So how much reworking? How many of the songs on Blue had you never played?
Well, when I was first asked to do this in Rochester a couple of years ago, I had never played two of them.
Okay.
Two of them.
So now you've played them all.
Three of them. Yeah. And so I had to learn three, I think, and with the tunings and, you know, and the piano playing it correctly. And I set myself this challenge to see, not if I could mimic her, but try really hard, at least at the outset, to play it just like she did, which is not easy. She's a genius.
You want to read one of my favorite pieces on Joni Mitchell, which is also about other things, by Zadie Smith in The New Yorker. Go back a few years and just Google Zadie Smith, Joni Mitchell.
Ooh.
It's really, really great stuff.
Ooh,
really,
cool.
So yeah, see, there's a little gift for you guys.
I don't know who that is. Z-A-D-I-E.
Yeah, Zadie Smith, fabulous writer, and it's a great, great piece. Let's listen a little bit. What are you going to play first for us here? You got to grab your guitar.
Let's see. Well, I started to play the first song on the record, so I guess I might as well play some of that. I don't have to play the whole thing.
You do whatever you want. This is your show right now. There you go. She said, I'm getting the headphones off there.
But it's funny. I don't want to talk about that. this song was like a diary of her travels. She was sinking, as she put it. I was going down. I was at the exact time I was ascending, she said, in the public eye. After just having given up her child from being destitute like a year or two before, suddenly fortune changed and she was a rising star. And at the very same time she was experiencing this, she didn't know what to call it. Is it a depression? Is it a brainwave going off somewhere else? She said she was bursting into tears at the sight of almost anything. And she knew she had to go off by herself and figure out, you know, how to restore her balance and her heart. And at the same time being scared, you know, being pressured into getting married and being scared to do that for many personal reasons that were hitting her like a ton of bricks. And then, you know, where do I go? What do I do? And one of the things I love so much about her, she's such a self-healer and she discovered everything herself, self-taught everything. And so this song says, you know, I am on a lonely road and I am traveling four times looking for something. What can it be? I hate you some, but I love you some. And, oh, gee, I love you when I forget about me. So her songs always start off about these details that are personal, and then she gets into the huge philosopher heart that she's just born with, and it becomes huge. So I just love delving into this stuff. So that the intro that I was trying to strum on this guitar, trying to pretend to be a dulcimer, which I don't play.
but again, the name of the song is?
It's called All I Want. And by the way, she went to Mata La Crete and lived in the caves, the hippie caves back then, where a lot of chic people were going there to find themselves. And she had all kinds of austere goals for herself to try to live very, very simply. How am I going to do with this? So anyway, I am on a lonely road and I am traveling, 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 looking for something. What can it be? Oh, I hate you some, I hate you some, but I love you some, and I love you when I forget about me. I wanna be strong, I wanna laugh along, I wanna belong to the living, alive, alive. I wanna get up and jive, I wanna wreck my stockings in a jukebox dive. Do you want, do you want, do you wanna dance with me, baby? Do you wanna take a chance on maybe finding some sweet romance with me, baby? Well, come on. All I really, really want our love to do is to bring out the best in me and in you too. All I really, really want our love to do is to bring out the best in me and in you. I wanna talk to you, I wanna shampoo you, I wanna renew you again and again. Applause, applause, life is our cause. When I think of your kisses, my mind seesaws. Do you see, do you see, do you see how you hurt me, baby? Well, I can hurt you too, but then we both get so blue. Hence the name of the record. Blue is in almost every song. That's two verses out of three.
You are a treasure.
Thank you.
Just fabulous. Connie Deming playing Joni Mitchell here in studio for us today. And next Friday night, that is 9 days from today, on the 25th, 8 p.m. The doors open at 7 at the Smith Opera House. Oh, look at the, I keep screwing up the branding. It is the Smith Center for the Arts, but it's the Smith Opera House within the Smith Center for the Arts. So that's great. We're getting all the Smith in there. Okay. It's at the Smith, and if you've never been to the Smith, enjoy it. It's a wonderful place to see a show. Connie is there next Friday, August 25th at 8 p.m. playing the album of Blue. Blue's in almost every song, huh?
Almost, yeah. I realized when I was practicing, oh, yeah, there's the word blue again. Yeah. Oh, it gives me the blues. Oh, and if it isn't literally in the song, then the whole song just has that feeling, you know, like that one. Laura's going to do.
We're going to hear some music from Maria and Lauren in our second half hour. Martha in Rochester emails the program and says, Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt are all on NPR's list for their own albums, but together they produced an album called Trio in 1987.
That's excellent.
What do your guests think of that album?
Love it.
Excellent, excellent. That definitely should have been on the list.
It's a wonderful
definitely.
Record.
It's excellent.
Okay.
I have something to listen to when I get home.
See, Lauren and I are like, well, we gotta look that up. So that's called Trio.
Synergy.
From 1987.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Well, thank you, Martha, for that. Let's take our only break, and when we come back, what are you going to play for us, Maria?
You turn me on. I'm a radio.
Ooh. Okay, Lauren.
Since we are on
perfect.
The radio.
Lauren, what are you going to play for us?
Little Green.
Dance
from Blue.
All right, we are going to our only break of the hour, and we're coming back with more music for you on this Wednesday afternoon right here on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Thursday on The Next Connections, the summer of food rolls on in our second hour, but in our first hour, we take a look at the new film, The Big Sick, that's showing at the Little Theater. It's fiction, but it's based on the real-life romance between a Muslim comedian and a white non-Muslim woman, and it explores the cultural challenges that can arise when Muslims date outside of their own religion. We'll explore that on Connections. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. NPR wanted to compile the list of the top 150 albums of all time made by women. Joni Mitchell ended up number one with her album Blue. And Kathy on Twitter says, missing from their top 150 list, Joan Armatrading, Eva Cassidy, Regina Spektor. Thoughts on that, Connie?
Did you say Eva Cassidy? I love Eva Cassidy.
Yeah.
She was an absolute natural. She could sing anything. And she died at age 33 from cancer, I think, of the brain, correct? And all her family brought out her records posthumously. Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Wow. Thoughts on that, Maria?
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, Regina Spektor is so original in her music and is quite contemporary now.
Yeah.
And just... you know, has a lot of influence on a lot of young people. And
that quality of her voice,
I
feel like I never heard it before her. And now it's very relevant. Yeah. Like a lot of people search for that tone that she has. But I feel like that she was almost the originator of
that. Was her voice.
We're talking about Regina Spektor.
Yeah, Regina Spektor.
So who do you hear that in, echoes of that now?
Oh, you know, it's horrible. I can't even think.
But you hear it a lot in music now, that kind of...
Yeah, just that general tone she has. It's a very focused sound. You know, it's unique. I hear people going for it. Like, you know, even when you're watching like America's Got Talent or something like that, I've heard it. And Eva Cassidy, definitely, like, she's a huge role model for me because she can do anything. You know, I really enjoy doing some blues and that kind of stuff. But she could do it all. She could sing the most beautiful melody and then tear it up.
Yeah, she sure could. And
even
get
like
real soft too.
And if you haven't heard her do "Bridge Over Troubled Water," oh my God!
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beautiful song. It's great. But when I got goosebumps just talking about it, because when she sings it, it just brings it to a whole nother level. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And who was the third person? I missed that. Sorry.
Joan Armatrading.
I never got into her.
I saw her in concert once. I liked her. A lot of people really liked her.
Yeah.
She had a real soulful voice.
Yes. Yes.
Great guitar player. Really in charge performer. She deserved to be on there.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
It's just
All right, listeners, if you want to continue to weigh in on your favorite albums by women of all time, you can do that as we celebrate NPR's list of top 150. And Maria Gillard's going to play what for us now?
"You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio." This is a Joni Mitchell song. Oops. If you're driving into town with a dark cloud above you, dialing the number who's bound to love you. Oh, honey, you turn me on. I'm a radio. I'm a country station. A little bit corny. I'm a wildwood flower waving for you. Broadcasting tower waving for you. And I'm sending out this signal. Hope you can pick it up loud and clear. No, you don't like weak women, you get bored so quick. And you don't like strong women, cause they're hip to your tricks. It's been dirty for dirty down the line. But you know I'll come when you whistle when you're loving and kind. And if you got too many doubts, there's no good reception for me, then tune me out. Cause honey, who needs a static? It hurts the head and you wind up cracking. And the day goes dismal from breakfast Barney to the sign of prayer. What a sorry face you get to wear. I'm gonna tell you again now if you're still listening there. You're driving into town with a dark cloud above you, dialing the number who's bound to love you. You're lying on the beach with your transistor going. Kick off the sand, fly sun, and the love still flowing. If your head says forget it, your heart's still smoking, call me at the station, the lines are open.
Beautiful. Why did you choose that one, Maria?
Well, one, because it was One of my guitar strings broke yesterday. That was the one I could play on this particular guitar. This is a different guitar. And it was an easier tuning because I was trying this other song and tuning it up and down, and my two of my strings broke. So anyway, but I thought this is a good song because we're on the radio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
Good reason. That's beautifully done. Let me turn to Lauren Faggiano. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to do Little Green, which is much more mellow than the two songs.
What album is this off of?
It's off of Blue.
Off of Blue.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell.
Okay. Born with the moon in Cancer, choose her a name she will answer to. Call her green, for the winters cannot fade her. Call her green for the children who made her little green. Be a gypsy dancer. He went to California, hearing that everything's warmer there. So you write him a letter saying your eyes are blue. He sends you a poem and she's lost to you, little green. He's a nonconformer, just a little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be sorrow. Child with a child, pretending, weary of lies you are sending home. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed of little green. Have a happy ending, just a little green, like the nights when the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be stars.
Well done. Beautiful.
Thank you.
I'll ask you the same question, Lauren. Why did you want to do Green?
That's probably one of the earlier songs that I've learned from her. The emotion and the depth of that, the emotion and the depth of that song, and the color in it, it's just, it really spoke to me. And with it being Blue, I wanted to do something from Blue, so that's why I chose that. And I didn't bring my keyboard in, otherwise I might have done River, but.
Do you remember... Yeah, are you one of those that remembers the first time you heard something, or are there moments associated with songs in your life?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when that song really made it into my life, I wasn't a mother yet, so I didn't care.
Don't let that guitar fall.
I know.
Do not let that guitar fall down. Hold on. Give it to me. You talk. Give it
okay.
to me.
Okay. I wasn't a mother at that point in my life, so I couldn't connect with it on that level, but I am now, so... As that song has progressed for me, and to think of where she was at that point in her life, what a vulnerable time. And there's such a vulnerability to her music, you know, and she really just wanted to do what was best, and that's what she did, and what a tough decision to make.
Are there songs for both of you that kind of mean more from the Joni Mitchell collection that, you know, that either resonate with your life at a time or a certain memory for you, Connie?
Boy, there's so many. She's like a gold mine. The more you delve into past, present, and, you know, recent present, the better it gets. It doesn't matter whether you're listening to an interview or her latest take on one of her old songs. But for some reason, the Dawn Treader just popped into my head. There's this gorgeous song on her very, very first record that is just her, you know, naked there with her guitar and voice, and reproduced by David Crosby, of all people. He discovered her in singing in a little place in Florida, and he said, "I was slammed up against the wall. I'd never heard anything like this before." And that song, she goes out into the rocks and the ocean and sits down on a rock and tunes to the landscape, to the sounds that she hears, to the birds, to the water. And that guitar, that tuning, when she plays that song, it sounds like waves lapping up on the shore and birds singing. So she, and again, she starts with the detail, and then her lyrics speak to the larger picture. I don't have the words in front of me, but she's singing about her friend David Crosby and his ship that they go out on, a boat, big boat that they go out on, and how, you know, at the end he's taking a nap and she talks to the bird, you know, "Fly, silly seabird." No, that's another song. She says, oh God, I can't remember. Something about the bird making circles in the air. And "Fold your fleet wings, I have got some dreams to share." So she's talking to the bird now, and really the whole sky. I mean, I'm probably not making any sense, but everything she does gets big, even though she's got a poet's detailed mind, you know.
What about you, Maria?
Well, one of the ones I think that got to me most was, I love the For the Roses album. That was the album that spoke the most to me. And there's a song on there called "Judgment of the Moon and Stars." And the words are, the chorus kind of part that resonated was, "Judgment of the moon and stars, your solitary path. Draw yourself a bath, think what you'd like to have for supper, or take a walk, a park, a bridge, a tree, a river. Revoked but not yet canceled, the gift goes on. In silence, in a bell jar, still a song." And to me, it spoke to me so deeply as a teenager. You know, everybody's a teenager, everybody's got problems. We had crazy problems in our family, and it just felt like I could do all those things and still be okay. And yeah, nothing's going to fall through the roof, you know. And still the song went on, because I was a young musician, and I felt like, okay, well, it's good advice. It felt like advice, yeah. But also went right to your soul because of the music, the piano music that she was playing. Being a piano student at the time, it really resonated with me.
Yeah. Both of you are fortunate to have grown up with Joni Mitchell. See, Lauren and I come from a little bit different musical age, and there have been studies. People cannot help it, but you always like the music that you knew growing up.
It's
whatever
true.
You liked in your teenage years, you are going to like it, even if it's a guilty pleasure. So you could get lucky. You could like something really great like Dolly Parton, or you could have something terrible like Duran Duran, and you will spend your life loving both.
That's right.
You know, and you can't help it. You have to admit to it quietly at parties, and you're shamed for it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how I am with some of my music too. But you happen to have Joni Mitchell at your fingertips growing up, which is really lovely. I got really nervous when Connie emailed me about Joni Mitchell. I said, "What happened with Joni Mitchell? Did she die?" You said, no. She's at the top of the NPR list. How is she doing, by the way? Like you call her, like last
year.
Yeah,
right. Like I know, but all I take a look at a Facebook page that that someone mans for her and does quite a nice job. It's very active, and they put up photographs that you've never seen and from everywhere. And there were some photographs recently of her attending certain events in her wheelchair, and you just sort of see that there doesn't seem to be the same spark in her eyes before, you know, that was there. Totally before the aneurysm. So you can only sort of guess that when they say she's doing so well, perhaps they mean she's walking and talking now. And somebody said she's painting a little. Her first love was painting. So I don't know. I mean, when your brain, she was found unconscious on the floor of her home, and no one knows how long she'd been lying there before they got her to the ER. So who knows what damage was done.
Yeah. Can all three of you give me an example of some kind of music from your childhood that you would be more embarrassed, that's not nearly to the caliber of Joni Mitchell, that you still like? Oh, Lauren, this will be easier for you. Come on, what do you like when it comes on? And it comes on your
car.
I'm
a sucker for CNC Music Factory,
yeah,
I guess. Journey. I really like Journey. And Nine Inch Nails, although I'm not embarrassed by that. I think their music is...
Nine Inch Nails? Oh, no. Yeah. I think Trent did some really interesting things.
Yeah.
I'm not as embarrassed about
I never
about
really
Nine
got
Nails.
Into New Kids in the Block or the boy bands, though. I safely avoided that.
Connie did. Connie is a big fan of that.
She's actually wearing a New Kids in the Block shirt.
What's on your list when you grew up that you were a little mildly more embarrassed about? Come on.
Well, nobody plays it, but when I was 10, I loved the Kingston Trio.
I wasn't like embarrassing, though, is it?
Goony kid.
Okay.
I just loved them. I would play their records all the time, and I actually got to see them in concert at Salisbury in New Hampshire, you know, right over the Massachusetts borderline. And I was just thrilled. Nobody plays them now, though. I suppose if they did, I'd go, oh, yeah, there's John Stewart singing. I don't know.
Steve Piper might sing one of their
songs.
Steve Piper.
He might sing.
Are you listening, Steve?
Stevie.
Maria, what about you?
Well, I had to say I was a Barry Manilow fan. I still am, actually. I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but
yeah,
some
of
it's
perfect.
Really good.
Nobody's
yeah.
perfect.
And actually, I was the Partridge Family was the first record I had.
Wow.
That was a TV show with Shirley Jones and David Cassidy. Someone's clapping for the Partridge Family. They had a great song called Point Me in the Direction of Albuquerque. So that was my favorite song.
This is from Annie. Annie emails the program to say, Evan, Laura Nyro's? Or
Laura Nero.
Laura Nero? Laura Nero, I don't know. Laura
She's
Nero's Eli in the 13th Confession and Chrissy... Oh,
hi.
Chrissy Hynde and the Pretenders.
Yeah.
Chrissy Hynde's first Pretenders album should have been in the top 10, Annie says.
Like
so Chrissy Hynde and Laura Nero... Annie says should have been in the top 10. If you're just joining us, we're talking about NPR's top 150 greatest albums made by women, with Joni Mitchell's Blue number one on the list. And as a result, the Smith Opera House in Geneva called up Connie Deming and said, can you come and play the entire Blue album for us? And Connie said, absolutely. And that show is next Friday, 9 days from now. Starts at 8 p.m. at the Smith Opera House in Geneva. Tickets are only $12.50 in advance. Check out thesmith.org for more information, because Connie will have some other visiting guests. They'll have a lot of fun that night there.
Yes, yes.
What are you looking forward to most that night?
Oh, my God, playing at the Smith Opera House. Yeah. I've never played in such a venue.
You haven't played the Smith?
Beautiful. No, I've never played
in
such a venue.
I would always have assumed that someone like you has played the Smith.
Oh, God, no. I've played in parks with a lot of people in them and stuff, but I've never played in a theater like that holds 1,300 people. 1,300 people.
You've never, like, broken in and, like, played when no one was there just
well,
to say you did?
I mean, in college, I got to stand on the big stage and sing a couple of Joni Mitchell songs, actually. In 1969, I played.
Can I warn you, by the way, before the hour's out, can you play us out with one Joni Mitchell song, whatever you want?
Oh.
I don't know if you're ready for that. I'm not ready yet. I just want to get the wheels turning. You don't know Joni Mitchell. You're doing the Blue album in 9 days.
No, I mean, I didn't want to do anything else from the Blue. I'll think of something.
Okay. Or a Connie Deming song would be fine. We're talking about women in songwriting this hour. And my goodness, we're here to celebrate all women in songwriting, not just Joni Mitchell. You can do that at the Smith next Friday. So I want to ask all of our guests a question that was sparked by, I'm sorry to keep doing this, but at least he makes me think. You all know how I feel about Malcolm Gladwell. I have this love-hate.
I like him.
You know, yeah, I mean, his new season of his podcast, which is Revisionist History, has an episode about country music. And Gladwell says country music, at least old-style country music, was much better songwriting because it was specific. It was specific about problems. It was much more relatable. He contrasts that, for example, to Wild Horses by Rolling Stones, and he says, too vague, not enough meaning, can't emotionally... Look, Connie's, like, offended by this.
What?
Can't pull at your heartstrings because it just doesn't have enough meaning, whereas country music always had, Dolly Parton and others, had much more real targeted songwriting power because of its specificity. Connie, you seem offended by that idea.
Well, I'm shocked because everything I've ever written so far about from Malcolm Gladwell has been, I understand it. I think it's far.
Well, I may be taking him out of context, but go back and listen.
But okay.
Well, how about specificity? His point is country music did such a better job, especially in its older days, of being specific, of giving you a story and allowing you to relate to it, as opposed to sort of vagaries and cliche. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous to pinpoint a certain genre for being more specific unless he's trying to appeal to the, maybe he's trying, could he be trying to say that most listeners, the masses, would be able to relate to the obvious lyric more than the poetic ones that are what I think are far superior when you use metaphor, as opposed to "I'm crying today in my beer and I want you to cry too."
Well, I think it depends on what kind of person you are, you know, to say that, and how you think, you know, right brain, left brain, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
to close it off to say, I think that being very literal can definitely be profound. And I think that that in itself can be poetic as well. It's just different.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the country music industry actually changed quite a bit in, you know, getting towards the 90s. Everything started to sound a little bit more like rock and roll. I mean, the music behind.
Yeah, he means the
lyrics.
Old school stuff. He doesn't mean the I don't know whether to get drunk or go bowling stuff.
Machinery. And like Willie Nelson was one of those old songwriters that were writing, and a lot of different artists sang his songs, and they were stories. But there's still a lot of stories in country music, but I think some of the producing of it is more. How could I describe it? Just sort of washed away. You can't hear the nuances of the instruments.
That's good,
and a lot of the instrumental stuff that was accompanying those older songs added to the emotion of the song. So in that respect, there was a lot more. It was deeper. It seemed deeper. Yeah. In my opinion, whereas if it's washed out and you're hearing drums and bass and everything's loud and you can't always hear the lyrics, then
By the way, Gladwell specifically gives a nod to Bobby Braddock. He goes to Nashville, he talks with Bobby Braddock, and his question for the episode is, what is it about country music that makes us cry? What sets country music apart? And the episode's called The King of Tears. I don't agree with everything in his episode, but I never agree with everything Gladwell says. But at the same time, I think of modern country music. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish I could buy stock in things like, I knew the second I heard it that the song Body Like a Back Road was going to be the biggest hit of the summer. And lo and behold, I'm in Cleveland this past weekend, and the Plain Dealer had an article about how they honed that song to be a hit. How many people got their hands on how to rewrite it just to make sure it was just right? And the song, it's a song about sex, it's a song about nothing, but it's such an easy hit. And it's so much less meaningful. It's so much more disposable than Joni and so many others. It's just, my concern with modern songwriting is way too disposable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's good. Yeah.
It's just so easy
very
to,
well put.
Everybody just wants to write hits.
Right.
What's easy? How do you dumb it down? What's the hook?
Because it's where the money is, yeah.
Yeah, well, on that note, let's get some final thoughts from our guests, and then Connie's going to play us out. Lauren Faggiano, we've really enjoyed the conversation. When you look at NPR's list of 150 greatest albums made by women, there's so many great women on there. Is there something on there that either you saw or that you would encourage people who, if you've never heard of X, go listen to, besides Joni Mitchell?
Well, Tori Amos.
Tori Amos.
Yeah, I saw Little Earthquakes was top 30. But really all of, I've kind of fallen off a little bit. Her last few albums, just because I have two young kids, so I don't really do much listening to music right now, unfortunately. But, you know, she tells a story, too. But again, it's very metaphoric. Mm-hmm. And, but I did want to say, if you don't mind, part of the reason why I was brought on for this was that I'm also putting a Joni Mitchell show together as a birthday bash for her. She's going to be 74 in November. And so Connie and Maria are going to be joining me.
Yeah.
As well as Scott Regan and Sarah Rogers.
Scott Regan does not ring a bell, but I know the other names.
And so that's going to be at Love and Cup. It's a Friday, November 10th.
Put it on your calendar.
So put it on your calendars.
It's Friday.
It's certainly not a week away.
That's okay, but put it on your calendar. Friday, November 10th.
Yes.
Joni Mitchell birthday celebration at Love and Cup.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
And it's Lauren's band with wind instruments. And,
oh, yeah.
Right?
It's full band.
That's really awesome.
Sungmin Shin is going to be playing guitar, lead guitar. My husband plays bass, Ken Schumacher, and Cindy Tagg is going to be playing clarinet, saxophones, flutes, different, and I have some Amanda and Melinda are going to be singing backup vocals, and we're covering over two decades of her music, so it's going to be
great.
I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, well, that's Lauren Fagiano. Thanks for being here. Maria Gillard, you got to do it in like 15 seconds.
Sorry.
If you missed something, go what woman's album? Go get it.
I would say Shelby Lynn's album of Dusty Springfield songs. I mean, they both made the list, Dusty Springfield and Shelby Lynn, but Shelby Lynn covering Dusty Springfield was one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Thanks for being here, Maria. You ready to play us out? Go see Connie if you want next Friday, two Fridays from now at the Smith. What are you playing as we go?
I'm going to play one of my songs since I happened to write one about women. So, Women in History, my favorite four.
Oh, I love this tune. Taking us out, Connie Deming.
Simply given up her seat. Another lost juncture, another defeat. When they robbed her rest from her weary feet, she said no. Rosa said no. You do not tell me where I may not go. You do not crush what deep down I know. Rosa, dear Rosa, said no.